Hello, my name is Ian, and I want to invite you to visit Ian's Place every Sunday at 4 p.m. At Ian's Place, we have the most powerful conversations on talk radio. If you want to start living your life your way, then Ian's Place is the place for you. We're going to cut to the chase and have a lot of fun doing it. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, and tune into Ian's Place and discover simple techniques that gives you the ability to customize your life your way. That's Ian's Place at bbsradio.com, station number 2, every Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome back. This is Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place where I welcome you for conversation, and we can talk about anything you want to talk about. So get those little questions written down and call in. All right, well, let's give you the call-in numbers then. First one, this is the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 1-888-228-4494. I'm so sorry. I'm on the East Coast again this time. My timing's off. Worldwide, toll-free is 1-877-489-6350. Or the direct line is 530-776-5154. So, tonight is the conversation's going to go towards what do you know? And how do you know that you know? So, how much do we know and how do we know it? That's a pretty interesting question, isn't it? How do we know what we know? How did we get this knowledge? So, we know what we know because we have been told our brain what to store in our memory bank. Thoughts and knowledge that we have chosen to keep have been stored for further use in our database, in our files. That's where our thoughts are. We have files in our brain, just like we do in our office. You go to the office, you pull up the cabinet, push a little piece of paper down in this file. The brain's the same way. We have files in our brain. And it's just like our computer when we just file something away in a document away in a folder. Same thing. Brain has the same thing. When we are born, we already have papers filed away in our brain. And just like the documents that we have in our computer, our brain, infant brain already has documents filed in folders. The information that's already in our brain comes from our genetic lineage. So like what our parents and our grandparents, great-grandparents, and it just keeps going back and back because it's each generation pushes it forward, forward, forward. So not only do we inherit their looks, but we inherit their likes and dislikes, and their opinions lay, all of this lays latent within us. So it's just like, you know, when you say, oh, look at little Georgie, he's just like his dad. Yeah, because he inherited all those traits. He likes the same food. He walks the same. So that's why we come already with a database. Now this database is not, it's latent. We can use it if we want. We can keep it in the back closet if we want. We don't have to use it, but it's there. It's part of us. So we have that knowledge in us when we are born. And sometimes, this knowledge serves us, and sometimes it doesn't. So it just depends if we want to use that knowledge and where we're going to take our life. If we don't need it, we don't want to use it, we don't have to. It's there. But if we're taking our life in a different direction than our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents, then it'll stay there. You can draw upon it if you wish. But if you're going in a totally different direction, you just may not want to use their knowledge. So what we do is when we're born, we start filling our brains with our own experiences, our own keep this knowledge and put it into X, Y, or Z file, please. When we experience something, we don't want to forget it. We say, oh, good, I want to keep this. I don't want to lose this experience that I'm seeing in front of my eyes. So I say, let's keep this. And by the way, when you say, I'm going to keep this memory forever, I'm going to file it away so I don't forget, who are you talking to? Who's the filer? Is it you? Is it something within the brain? Who's your assistant? Good question. We'll go to that one day. Anyway, back to storing thoughts and knowledge. Once you experience something, it becomes knowledge. Once you read something or watch something on TV, it becomes memory. And it will stay memory until you experience it. Once you experience it, then it becomes knowledge. So when we go find information in our brain files, we either pull out a genetics file, a memory file, or a knowledge file. We probably have more files, but we just use those for right now. Oops, excuse me, I just lost my spot. Can you guys hold on, please? And while you're holding on for me to find my spot, you can always call in. You have the numbers. I really lost my spot. I do prepare for these sometimes. And what did I do? This isn't very professional, is it? Okay. So when we go find information in our brain files, we put out, we go look for either a genetic file, a memory file, or a knowledge file. When we are hungry, we determine what we would like to eat by going to our brain files, and we could go to the genetic file because we can draw on what our relatives like to eat. Like if you were born Italian, your brain knows Italian food, and it draws from there. If you're Polish, you're going to draw on Polish foods because it's already within you. So we could draw on that file. We could go to our memory files, like we're recalling a recipe that we saw in a cookbook a couple of days, and it looked really good. That would look really good to fix and eat. So that would be going to our memory files, and then we get in that file. We start scanning through all the different pieces of paper until we find that recipe. And or we can go to our knowledge files. Foods that we know we like. Because we've eaten these foods before. We have experienced the taste. Therefore, we come from knowledge. And I know there's Linda out here, and I want her to call in. I got her email. So she has to call in very, very soon. Okay. So when we're hungry, we go to either genetic memory or experience. So each one of us gathers our brain files differently. And it's quite obvious. The reason why is because it depends on individuals. They again, genetics, acquired memory, that's from flipping through the TV and the books, living conditions, and actual experiences which turn into knowledge. I know that, I've acquired that, and I have filed that. Absolute knowledge, we experienced it. Over our years, we all differently and individually create at will the makeup of our brain files. We're the ones that determine what we are going to file in our brain, excuse me. So doesn't it stand to reason that when someone comes to a different conclusion than ourselves, it's not because they are dumb or stupid. It's just that they have learned experiences, different experiences. Listen to the word different. People are unlike each other. Isn't that a blessing instead of a crime? Don't we like saying, every one of us saying, I am different. We proclaim that proudly. Yet, when someone else is different than us, many of them are put down just because they are different. But think about it. They've got different relatives. They have different environments. They have different memories, different experiences, and yet they're supposed to think and act like us. Go figure on that one. Because people think differently, speak differently. Others put them down because they don't handle something the way we would have handled it. But they don't know how to handle it like us. Why? Or we would handle it differently than them is because, number one, we'd have to have their relatives and the genetics of that memory. Number two, we would have to live every moment of their life, every second of their life, right alongside of them and do the same things that they do to get the same knowledge of us. They'd have to live our lives. They'd have to have our relatives. They would have to have our taste buds. Both of us would have to have led each other's lives 1 second at a time to be able to come to the same conclusion at the same time. But we're not that way. We were not created that way. We were created as individuals with individual thought processes. So where do we think it's okay to put somebody, belittle somebody, and put them down because they think differently? They think differently because they are different. And I don't think we'd all want to be the same. That would be pretty boring. So what has happened as a society that we expect people to think the way we think and do things the way we do it? I mean, the dishwasher, I've heard more couples get in fights over loading the dishwasher. I mean, it's different. Everybody does it a different way. What is there to argue about? I don't get this one. But people do. I mean, they really get upset if their spouse doesn't load the dishwasher. They think it should be done. But they don't know how you want it done and vice versa. It's insanity, actually, when you think about it. That's my spin on it. When we expect someone to think like we do, case in point, when you're in an office and here's the supervisor and a new employee comes in and the employee is doing what he knows. The new employee is doing what they know. But somehow the supervisor doesn't like it and starts calling him names. That stupid guy, that new guy, he doesn't know anything. Yeah, he doesn't. You've hit it. He doesn't know what you know, and you expect that to happen within an hour or 20 minutes of the guy starting the job, and you're already calling him names, and this does happen. I'm not judging it. I'm stating a fact. And all of a sudden, this guy who just got hired 20 minutes ago is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing, and probably doesn't know what he's doing. He's just 20 minutes on the job. So I guess if we want to, as a society, start uplifting each other, you know, instead of being critical and pushing somebody down into the ground, you might just want to grab them by the hand and say, oh, well, we don't do it that way. We do it this way. I don't know. I'm on a tangent. I got off course here. All right. So once we start scanning our brains for different info and different files, we extract our individual listening story. Again, listen, individuals. We choose the files. We did, no one else. So we can start going into these files of ours of how we start perceiving the world. And we can call the files that we want to go into acceptance and unconditional love. And it's just like the power within you that totally accepts you for who you are. All this power does is loves and allows. That's it. It loves and allows you for who you are. To prove that it loves and allows you, it hasn't stopped you yet from doing anything that you want to do. It hasn't stopped us as a society to stop belittling people. It allows that, and it loves us. And what a great role model when you think about it, that this thing within us loves us enough to allow us to be and do anything and any way we want to be. That's a great, great role model. Many other people say, you know, the unconditional love that a dog gives. You know, you can beat a dog to death and it'll snuggle right back up to you and just gaze into your eyes and it just loves you. And it's just another role model of how we may want to start acting towards each other. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about looking in people's eyes. And I really make it myself, I make it a habit to really look into people's eyes and then call them by their first name. I do that as much as I can if I know their name or I notice their name tags. And it is just a wonderful thing to hear, to not only hear it in their voice, but to see the gaze on their face. It's like, nobody's ever called them by their first name and looked them square in the eye before, saying, thank you, James. Thank you, Jen. Thank you. I started this a few years ago, and it has brought me so much joy that the response, I mean, it's a heartfelt smile back. And I think you know what I'm talking about, because everybody does it every once in a while, you know. But I think we should start making it a habit. Because if anybody else can get as much joy as I get from it, I know you're going to enjoy it. So there's this power within us that is giving us a role model. Yeshua ben Joseph. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and even more. How simple is that? We've really lost a lot. So how do we know when we know? we know when we absolutely know. Okay, let me put it this way. We know when we absolutely know is when we have no questions. We just have answers. Isn't that the answer? When we stop asking questions, it's because we already know the answer. We have thought about something. We have talked endlessly about something, and we start moving towards something, and we finish it. That means we absolutely know. We just do it. There's never any hesitation. If there is any hesitation, you don't absolutely know. There is never any question to another one of what shall I do? Do you know when you ask someone else what you should do, it weakens you? Do you know that? If you don't know that, how come you don't know that? More knowledge. When you go ask someone, what do you think I should do? Instead of relying on the power within you, you have just let your power go. You have just let your power go outside of you. And if you let your power go outside of you, how powerful do you think you are inside? I'll give you one guess. How can you become powerful, the master of your domain, if you keep going around asking other ones, what should you do? It doesn't make any sense. How can you manifest anything? How can you manifest anything when you're going down the road to ask somebody how to manifest? How do you, what should I do to make my sandbox the way I want it to be? Well, it wouldn't be the way you want it to be because you're down the street asking somebody else how to do it. Number one, to be powerful, you have to turn within. That's number one. And you have to build up that power. It's just like a snowball running down a hill. It's a little snowball. But as it gets more confidence and more heavier, it keeps on going down the hill and it grows and grows and grows. It's the same thing within you. Once you stop asking outside of you, that little snowball is going to start tumbling down. And it's a good thing. Because it's going to grow bigger and stronger and faster. So once you got to get back to you, back to who you are, never let anybody tell you how to run your life because it is your life. It's not theirs. God didn't give it to them. He gave it to you. He said, here, this is your life. You are an individual. You are different from anybody else. No one has the power over you unless you give them that power. And once you stop, they will leave your sandbox. That's the law. Once you make your stand, this is my sandbox, this is how I'm going to put it together, this is how I am going to decorate it, people that have been trying to control and manipulate you and tell you how to live your life in your sandbox will leave your sandbox. Why? Because there's nothing for them to do. There's no control things that they can do. You have eliminated their control features. They're out of there. They need someone to control. If they don't have anybody to control, they have to leave and go find somebody else, because that is how it works. Once you become master, once you become powerful, once you take your life back into your hands, there is no one for them to control, and for them to live, they have to have someone to control. So, stop asking. Take a hold of your life. Start creating your life your way. And they have to leave. They don't have a choice. They will leave. Do they go leave kicking and screaming? Yes. In all probability, hopefully not. But they will, because they don't have anything to control anymore. So it doesn't fit their sandbox. Their sandbox says that they have to go around controlling people. And if they have found somebody to control that doesn't want to play that game, they leave. It's that simple. So, to absolutely know who you are starts the road to living your life your way. Okay, I'm going to give out the phone numbers again. All right, and a toll-free, USA and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, toll-free, 1-877-489-6350. For a direct line of 1-530-776-5154. All right, so once you decide that you're going to take over your sandbox again, now we have to think, how am I absolutely know that I am going to create it the way I want to create it? So let's start with a blank brain. You don't have anything from your parents or your grandparents or your great-great-great grandparents. You are an infant in a very warm, loving, cuddling family that knows that you need to develop your life your way and gives you the freedom to do it. So now there's nothing stopping you, right? There's nothing. It's all up to you how you are going to develop your sandbox. So let's all pretend out there that we have blank brains. Okay. Now, what is the first thing that you're going to put in there? I'm letting you think. What is the number one thing that you would put into a blank brain? I would have to think. Love. You would fill this empty brain with the feeling of love. And I'll tell you why in a second. But right now, let's all pretend that all our brains are blank, but we just have infused an individual, invisible loving feeling. So you've got a blank brain that just feels love. That feels really good. I've experienced this myself. Because love is the glue of the universe. This is how God created everything. He loved everything into existence. So now we have this loving feeling. And what is that going to generate in our life? It's not going to generate hatred, because you can't have love and hatred in the same area. And it's not going to generate lack, because love doesn't come from lack. So as you gather this momentum of love, 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 more love, you are going to draw to you loving situations. You are going to draw situations that only reflect your loving feeling. That's all you can experience. So you are becoming conscious, or you're becoming knowledgeable of what this loving feeling will bring to you. It will set up circumstances of more things to love. Now, if this blank brain, we take out the love just for a second, put it to the side, it's not going anywhere, and we put into this empty brain of ours fear and doubt. That's the only two things in there. Now, if we have only love in there, and it will only bring to us loving situations, because that's what we are experiencing, that's what we know is love. Let's put to the side for a second. Now we have taken the empty brain and we put it in afraid and doubt. There's this thing that I'm sure a lot of us remember, I do, is like when we were like acting up as kids, your parents would say, stop, or they spanked us and we're crying, and they go, stop crying, or I want to give you something more to cry about. Right? Guess what's going to happen? This thing within us loves us so much that if we have our brain filled with doubt and fear, it's going to go, oh, you need something to cry about? Here, try this on for size. If that's what you want to experience, I love you. I'm unconditional. If this is what your brain is sending the signals out, here, let's try this circumstance on for size. And you're going to keep on getting things thrown in your face, thrown in your sandbox, that will match your doubt and fear thoughts. Won't it? There's one point in time in my life where I was afraid to get out of bed in the morning, because it was over and over, and the angrier I got, the worse it got, more stuff happened to me got, so garbage, I was just piling it up. I'm not kidding, I was afraid to get out of bed in the morning because I didn't want one more thing to like, you know, bowl me over. Oh my God, here comes another back truck. Until I figured it out that I needed to empty my head with sarcasm and doubt and fear and anger and all those little things that just keep coming at you. Why? Because you keep thinking about them. So I want you out there, just take all that garbage out of your head. The stuff that does not support you anyway. You're not going to miss it. You don't like it. You don't like thinking about it. Just blow it off. Blow all of that out of your brain. Just clean it up. Make it empty. And just be with an empty brain for a while. Don't even think about love. Don't think about anything. Just be. The is. Nothing. Just be empty for a while. Clear your brain. You don't have to fill it back up with anything. It's like that basketball I keep on talking about. There's all that void inside there. Don't put anything in there. Just let it be. And then when you want to, put the love back in. For beginners. And then when you want to absolutely know something, you start constructing it in this void of nothing but love. This is what I'm experiencing. And if you keep that thought there without any adjectives, no good, no bad, no doubt, no fear, we just got this empty brain with a loving feeling in it, and the words, this is what I am experiencing. Do you see how that feels? Do you see what I'm getting at? If you just leave it there, without not one more word, without any other feeling but love, nothing, just one feeling. Isn't that a great feeling? I'm doing it right along with me talking. I'm feeling pretty good right about now. Because there's nothing else in there but my experience and this loving feeling. That's it. That's all I've got. So right now, I want you to get that loving void in your brain. That's all that's in there. There's nothing else. It's empty except for the loving feeling. And then make a statement. This is what I am experiencing. And then you fill in the blank. And then you just leave it there. You cannot think of any other words. You cannot feel any other feelings. You can't throw any other adjectives. You can't do nothing but this is what I am experiencing, and have the loving feeling around it. And when you do that, you're going to call me, like you guys always do, and say, guess what? I manifested this. And I'm going to say, and you're surprised? You're surprised that manifested? That's how it works. I have a tape. It's on my, not to do a commercial here, but I think you'd like it. If you go to my website, it's called, my website's name is WakeUpIt'sTimeToRemember.com. And on there, I have a CD that I put together, and it takes you on this mind journey. And by the time that you do this, you know, you get really comfortable, make sure nobody's going to bother you, and you put the CD on. And we go to spaces that I don't think you've ever been before. Stay awake. It's 45 minutes long. But don't do it when you're tired is what I'm trying to tell you. And just be with it. And you're going to go right back to yourself. And it's like, whoa. I even do a whoa when I listen to it myself. It's like, whoa. What this tape does, it gets you back to you. And that's where people want to go, because they know that they're not themselves You know you're not yourself. If you were yourself and you were content, you wouldn't be looking. Everybody wants to get back to themselves. They know they are not themselves, because if they knew that, they would absolutely know that, and they wouldn't be looking to do something else. You couldn't. That's what absolute knowledge is. You would be so centered, you wouldn't look outside of yourself for nothing. Because once you find you, you're not going to let go. And how do you know you found you? How do you absolutely know? You know. There's just no questions. There's only answers. The answer is you won't go looking anymore because you know. How content is that? There's millions of us looking for ourselves. We'll do anything to find us. We will go talk to anybody. I've said it before. You can't go outside of yourself. You can't go to runes. You can't go to tarot cards. You can't go to astrology. You can't go to numerology. You can't go to a psychic. That's outside of you. Is there anything wrong with this? No. Keep going. But I'm telling you, you won't find you out there. You can't. Listen to the sentence. You can't find you, the inside of you, out there. Outside. Listen to the words. I think you'll agree with me. Okay, I'm going to try these phone numbers one more time. I know there's somebody out there. Okay, U.S. and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide is 1-877-489-6350. And direct is 530-776-5154. It's funny, I was talking to another radio host. In fact, if you guys ever want to visit a really, really good metaphysical, spiritual, a lot of great guests, it's called the Taz, T-A-Z-Z, and Paula Show. And the TazandPaulaShow.com. And they have some wonderful, wonderful guests on there. And I forgot what I was going to say about Taz and Paula. Oh, I was talking to Taz the other day, and she read these stats on radio hosts, and their number one complaint that nobody would call in, they tried gimmicks about giving away books, do psychic readings, and radio hosts just run the gamut of figuring out how to get people to call in. Because I think it's better. I feed off of people more than just sitting here rambling. And but they were saying, this one radio host said he had 5,000 on his email list and he could never get anybody to call in. So I just thought I'd pass that little tidbit of information on. But if you want to talk about anything, God, please call in. So it's about manifestation and what you absolutely know. Absolute knowledge is when you can stay steadfast. It's when you know, no matter what you see in front of you, let's put it this way, no matter what you think you see in front of you, no matter what you think you see in front of you, because you may think that things aren't going the way they should be, because you're asking for a certain thing over here in box A, and you see box D, E, F, G, H, and that's what you think you see. But you need to get rid of those thoughts and focus on box A. So absolute knowledge is when you think that you are seeing something that you want different than what you want to manifest, and have the absolute knowledge that that's not true in front of you, that your manifestation is going to come after or beyond, on the other side of what you're seeing in front of you at this current moment. That's absolute knowledge, that you can steadfastly say, oh, this is not my manifestation, what I'm seeing in front of me, but I absolutely know what I am manifesting within my brain is going to coagulate into matter, and I will see it in the physical world in its perfection. That is when you know. That is when you have absolute knowledge. So no matter what you are seeing in front of you, you absolutely know what you are creating in thought, in words, and in action will manifest in matter, mass, in front of you at some point in time. That is when you absolutely know. When you can stay calm. When people come up, oh my God, it hasn't happened yet. I'm sure it's not going to happen. What do you think is going wrong? Why don't you think you manifested this and it's not here yet. What do you think is wrong? Why isn't it here yet? That's not absolute knowledge. You wouldn't have a conversation with you, yourself, or anyone else with absolute knowledge. And it takes practice to do that. It takes courage to do that. That you can say, it's coming. I don't know how, but it's manifesting. And mean it. Mean that, what you have just said. I don't know how it's coming. I just know that it is. I just know that it is. The isness. The isness, the nothingness. The nothing that always comes in to something. But until you stop bringing all those other thought processes, all those other words that don't support you and where you are going, it's not going to happen. It's being centered. It's just knowing. It is as simple as you knowing you can go to your closet, grab your vacuum, and vacuum. You absolutely know you can do that. There's no problem in here. It is the same identical thought process. I am going to experience vacuuming. And you go get your vacuum, you vacuum. I am going to experience peace. I am going to experience kindness. I am going to experience financial freedom. It's the same, same. You have to jump off the fence at some time. You cannot say, I have faith, and then have a but at the end of the sentence. I am spiritual. I am metaphysical. I can manifest and twiddle your thumbs. And then start saying, well, maybe I didn't. Maybe I made a wrong statement. You can't be a little bit pregnant with faith. You got to jump off the fence. It's either you know or you don't. There's no but or what ifs in the absolute knowledge. You cannot say, I absolutely know, and then have that gut-wrenching feeling in your stomach. You have to fight off in the beginning that gut-wrenching feeling in your stomach. I've been there. I mean, I'm going to do this. And then I feel like I was going to throw up 2 seconds later. What if I fail? What if it doesn't manifest? What if I make a fool of myself? Go for it. Do. Because as soon as you get over all those worries and fears, you're going to be manifesting like crazy. And you won't worry about what other people think. Getting over that alone is a big one. Well, I got about 4 minutes left. So if anybody wants to call and say, hey, I hope what we talk about, and we do have callers in, helps. And if you have any questions that you would like to email me and would like to talk about that particular subject matter, I'd be more than happy, if I have the knowledge, to talk about that subject matter, whatever it be. But if I had my wish, if I could wave a magic wand, if I could be a control freak and say to everybody, lighten up on each other. We only make it worse when we're nitpicky at each other. We only make it worse when we argue. We only make it worse when we're angry. It doesn't help anything. It makes it worse. We do it to each other. So if I had a magic wand, and I could be the control freak of the century, I would make everybody start looking at everybody in the eye and saying, hi, how are you? And then actually mean it. And that feeling that you get when you acknowledge somebody in the eye and they smile back is just the most, for me, the most awesome feeling that I know. It's kind of like looking at a brand new baby for the first time and looking in their eyes and going, hi, welcome to the world. We say, don't we just love it when babies come into the world? And then we give them a world of hatred and cynicism and sarcasm. No wonder kids grow up with cynicism and sarcasm, because where's their role model? How many people do you see talking to them over the vegetable counter in a store and actually mean it? Hi, how are you doing? Why is it we get thrilled to death when we stoop down and we look at a 2.5-year-old in his eyes and we smile and they smile back? Why do we do that to a child? Because we get so much pleasure from it. But yet, as an adult in a vegetable bin in the supermarket, we don't want to make eye contact at all. No wonder we can't cure the world. We can't even look each other in the eye. Well, I guess my time's up for the day. Hope to see you next week. And keep those manifestations coming. Keep going over and over and over again. This is what I am experiencing it. And then you know that. Don't come off your knowledge. I swear to you, your life is going to change in leaps and bounds. Till next week, thanks for tuning in, and be at peace. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.